So the seventh Sunday of Easter has been called Jerusalem Sunday for a number of years. And its name has recently changed to Jerusalem and Holy Land Sunday. As we go about our worship today, we keep in mind that part of the world, the land of the Holy One. So, on this seventh Sunday of Easter, it feels like this is a good time to review where we have been so far in the church year. The church year, of course, is the rhythm that we follow as we engage with Jesus and with God. So we began with the preparation for Jesus' coming in Advent, and then we moved to his birth, his incarnation at Christmas. We heard of his manifestation to the world in the Epiphany. Then we moved through Lent in preparation for his death and resurrection. And we experienced his resurrection at Easter, something we've been hearing about for the last 6 weeks. And now for an even more insider bit of church knowledge. We in the Anglican Church observe 7 days that are called principal feasts. So this church year, up until last week, we had seen 3 of them. But now, within 2.5 weeks, we observe another 3 of them. Seems like all the action is right now. We observe the ascension of Jesus, the ascension of the Lord, this past Thursday, celebrating when he returns to be with God in heaven and his physical form leaves the earth. Next week, we celebrate Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes down to rest upon Jesus' apostles. And the following Sunday, we celebrate the nature of God on Trinity Sunday. So if all of this sounds like review for an exam, well, in some ways it is. The disciples observed Jesus in action, both before his death and during the time following his resurrection, and they learned a lot. But now they're in a strange place. On the day that Jesus ascended to be with God and left the world physically, they suddenly didn't have him present anymore. Jesus blessed them, but there's a practical side that they needed to struggle with. There could be no more quick questions about the nature of God's kingdom or about what to do in their ministry. That must have been very disconcerting for them. So there in the time between Jesus' physical presence and the descent of the gifts of the Holy Spirit on them and upon their ministries. This is a time of transition for them, a time that can be quite uncomfortable. A place where they think they know some things, but aren't 100% sure. And a time when they need to prepare for a transition in their identity from being people who follow Jesus around on his journeys and ministry. They have to move, they have to transition to leading ministries on their own. A scary time. We too have learned a lot about Jesus and the nature of God over the past 5.5 months since the first Sunday of Advent. We learned the fundamentals of being Christians, some of us for the 50th or 60th or 70th time, or more. We've learned by hearing about Jesus' ministry on earth, learning about the events of his life. And now we know enough to be able to be active Christians. And this is where the exam approaches, as we move from that learning phase into the actively doing phase, just like the disciples. Now, on the bright side, this is an exam that has unlimited repeats in case we have issues. And God, fortunately, is way more forgiving than the registrar's office at the university. But on the other hand, we have his surprise exams all the time as we face the challenges of life. And this is still scary, because we too are in the same position as the apostles. And we actually never even saw Jesus in person. We've had to learn about him and about his ministry on earth secondhand And yet we're still expected to bring the word of Jesus and God into the world. And so this is where our reading from the Gospel of John comes into play. That passage is part of what's called Jesus' farewell discourse, his farewell discourse. And it stretches through chapters 14 to 17 in the Gospel of John. It's a long discourse. This is where Jesus prepares the apostles, his disciples, for their life ahead in his physical absence. So the portion of the farewell discourse that we heard today is a prayer that Jesus has with God the Father, the creator of all. He talks about how the apostles now know that they are God's and that God gave them to Jesus. They have heard the word of God. They have experienced the word of God. That word, as we hear throughout the Gospel of John, is actually Jesus himself. So in that prayer, after some reflection on the situation, Jesus asks in a moving prayer of intercession, he's praying on behalf of the others, for God to protect the disciples as they engage the world. In words that remind us a bit of the Lord's Prayer that we'll be saying in a few moments, he says this, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. Of course, the line from the Lord's Prayer is, save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. So Jesus is saying that the apostles are still to engage with the world just as he did. He's not saying that they aren't part of it. And he goes on to say this in his prayer. They don't belong to the world. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. But that sounds a bit strange, doesn't it? The apostles don't belong to the world, but aren't going to be removed from it. They don't belong to the world, but are not to be removed from it. Of course, the term the world is a bit of shorthand in the Gospel of John. Means the things that draw us away from the love of God and of God's ways. Things like the love of privilege, things like the abuse of power, things like the oppression of the poor, the oppression of the sick, the oppression of the needy, the suppression of those who aren't like us. So Jesus is asking God to protect the disciples as they bring God's word to that kind of world. The apostles are not to be of that world, but to be active within it, spreading love, not spreading inequity, not spreading hate, not spreading death, not spreading destruction. So Jesus is paving the way for the apostles as they move through their period, this period of not knowing what's coming next, this period of uncertainty, this period of transition, to a new phase in their ministries. Now there's good news for all of us in this message, in this prayer. The first piece of good news, although we didn't hear the words this morning, is that Jesus is also praying the way, is also praying for us. He's paving the way for us. So in cheating a little bit by reading on, we read this. I ask not only on behalf of these, the disciples, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So we too are included in this prayer. Jesus has been all about setting us up to succeed, from his teaching and his actions to his intercession, his prayer. We're all called, we're actually welcomed into a relationship with God, including Jesus. And we can use that relationship to show the message, the word of God, to the world. Another piece of good news is that Jesus is showing us a way to pray to God. Here is Jesus himself, God's Son, bringing things to God the Father, the Creator of all. We might think that Jesus just knew what to do because he was God's Son. But even he took the time to pray regularly, both in good times and in bad. So he is modeling for us what we can do. You know, sometimes we're afraid to pray because we are worried that we might be showing weakness, or that we made a mess. Sometimes we're afraid to pray simply because we don't know what words to use. But Jesus gives us a good model here. He states the situation as he understands it. Then he asks for something to happen. And notice that he doesn't tell God how to do what he asks. He just seeks a resolution. This is a model for prayer that we too can follow. State the situation. Ask for a result. It might be a couple of sentences. It might be a lot of words. But God will be with us. God will be with us, even if it might be scary, even if we're uncertain. So on this Jerusalem and Holy Land Sunday, our simple prayer might be this: God, Creator of all, the land of the Holy One is in turmoil. Show us how we can bring peace and harmony to that part of your creation. Be with us in our ministry towards the people there. Amen.